Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Preparing for Disaster in America, on Tuesday, February 12th, 2013. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by Tapas and Vino. Located in the heart of Riviera Village, Tapas and Vino offers an idyllic location to meet and eat and has quickly become a favorite destination of local foodies. Opened in October 2011, this charming bistro offers an eclectic menu of small plates, salads, soups, and entrees for lunch and dinner daily. In addition, brunch is served every Saturday and Sunday with endless, yes, that's right, endless mimosas and bellinis. The popular outdoor patio boasts a vibrant scene each evening and features live music every Tuesday night. The extensive wine list offers varietals from regions around the globe, and brew enthusiasts will appreciate the comprehensive beer selection. Tapas and Vino also hosts monthly wine and or beer education events, provides off-premise catering, and has a private dining room for small groups. Tapas and Vino is currently running a Not Just Tapas and Vino campaign. For listeners of the South Bay Show exclusively, mention the South Bay Show or South Bay by Jackie and receive 25% off a lunch or Saturday and Sunch brunch entree. Be sure to visit the Tapas and Vino Facebook page for weekly specials and discounts. Tapas and Vino is located at 1729 South Catalina Avenue in Redondo Beach. For more information, visit the website at tapasyvino.com. That's TapasyVino.com, tapasyvino.com, or call 310-791-8200. That's 310-791-8200. You can find out more about us at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show or visit our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Preparing for disaster in America. This is a subject that can never be treated lightly, but we do our best to make it interesting, engaging, and yes, even entertaining to learn the few key skills and primary information that could save your life, your family's lives, that of a neighbor in a time of crisis, or the life of a treasured pet. Our mission is to engage hearts and minds and build knowledge and skills to help you prepare for whatever may come. This show is a true collaboration with Solid Roots in the Community and a partnership with the Official Disaster Preparation Establishment. Our producer is the president of the local Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team Association, Mr. George Butts. Hey, George, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, listeners. I am fine. Thank you.
Good morning, George. And it would be remiss of me if I did not mention that our producer, George Butts, has been recognized as one of the top 5% viewed profiles on LinkedIn in 2012. And we're very proud of him for that. Congratulations, George.
Oh, thank you. Again, I mentioned it this morning, but I'm not sure what it means, but it sounds real good, doesn't it?
It does sound very good.
See, of 2 million members, that's not bad.
Top 5%. Better than the top 10. Wow.
That's what the email says. If anybody doesn't believe it, I'll forward it on to you.
He's got proof, ladies and gentlemen.
And I'm going to save it, too.
And, of course, with us today is owner-producer, writer of South Bay by Jackie.com, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you today?
I am well this morning. Congratulations, George.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are so thankful. And of course, we're thankful we've covered so many different aspects of preparing people for disasters in America, all kinds of disasters, the kinds that we think of here in Southern California, earthquake, the kinds people think of in other cities like Atlanta with the Anita Mathis show about risk assessment and preparation for businesses to recover and to continue continuity, business continuity, but we rarely talk about recovery. Recovery is a different subject altogether. The disaster has occurred. You survived. At this point, you are living, thank God. Things are things. They can always be replaced. You can't replace life or limb. So now what? We're in a scene of devastation. Perhaps our entire community has been affected. Rockaway Beach, New Jersey, amazing scenes of devastation and throughout the neighborhood. It's just amazing what we saw there. So now what? And that's what our guest is going to be talking to us about. Jackie, who's with us today?
Our guest this morning is Sean Scott. Sean is the CEO of Heritage Publishing and Communications and the author of The Red Guide to Recovery, a resource handbook for disaster survivors. Having witnessed firsthand the many difficulties disaster survivors face in the aftermath of wildfires, earthquakes, floods, and other calamities, Sean, a fire restoration contractor by trade, identified an unmet need. It was clear that once first responders left the scene of a disaster, people often became overwhelmed by the trauma, shock, and stress brought about by losing a home or being displaced. The state of chaos created by disasters, coupled with the lack of knowledge of what course of action to take in the aftermath, made disaster survivors vulnerable to the many pitfalls that often accompany post-disaster scenarios. Compelled to share his 30-plus years' worth of disaster recovery and hands-on construction experience, Sean embarked on a mission to create a straightforward, easy-to-read guide to give disaster survivors the tools they need to effectively navigate the recovery process. The Red Guide to Recovery embodies this mission by empowering individuals, families, and communities on what steps to take immediately after a disaster, as well as offering tips on how to be prepared for recovery in advance. Always looking for new ways to help our nation become more resilient to disasters, Sean continues to create state-of-the-art resources and tools to help individuals, families, businesses, and whole communities expedite the recovery process. These resources are available to all at www.theredguidetorecovery.com. Welcome to the show, Sean. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean, for joining us. It's going to be an exciting conversation today because I just sort of highlighted the fact that you really cover after the disaster. What do you do? How do you get back on your feet? What questions do you ask of the local and state and federal agencies and other sort of official personnel that will be hovering around? This is a very valuable process that people need information on.
And yes, it is.
How did you first come up with the idea of the Red Guide to Recovery?
Well, in 2003 and 2007, Southern California was devastated by the wildfires, as you obviously remember. Mm-hmm. And San Diego County alone lost over 6,000 homes in that fire. And there were a couple hundred thousand people were initially evacuated that were sent to, at the time, the Jack Murphy Stadium was a giant shelter, kind of a local assistance center set up. And it was just utter chaos. We weren't prepared for a devastation of that magnitude. And I had, been called by insurance companies as a fire restoration contractor. My job was to go out and help people rebuild after a wildfire event or a single structure fire or a flood or these types of things. So it was I was very acquainted with what people went through on an individual level, like, going to see somebody who had a kitchen fire and walking them through the process of dealing with their insurance claim, and then helping them rebuild their home. But when you're talking about wide scale devastation at that magnitude, it was just, insurmountable for any one person to be able to fathom what all these people needed. Right. And what motivated me to, to write the book is, it was basically necessity became the mother of invention. I was dealing with a friend whose home burned to the ground in Ramona. And he was surrounded by three or four other homes. It was on the edge of a canyon that were also destroyed. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, held this friend of mine and their family, held their hand through the whole process. And during the this process, I noticed that as they were beginning to rebuild and recover, their neighbors were not faring as well. And some of them weren't even able to rebuild. And so I started to, you know, wonder, you know, why there were so many homes in this area that to this day were never rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on me that they didn't have somebody like me who understood the process to walk them through it. And they fell victim and fell prey to the pitfalls that, you know, occur after not just a wide-scale event like those Cedar Fire and the Witch Creek fires in that era,
mm-hmm.
but just, you know, any single event. And so I realized something's got to be done, because these people started off, you know, the day after the fire, they were a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the weeks and months that followed, they evolved into a victim. And it was just tragic to see what had happened. So I thought, you know, it would be a tragedy for me not to share what I know, you know, in a book form to help people through this process so that they can avoid becoming victims. And in this day and age, you know, with technology, there are a lot of people who are listening to radio scanners who are, you know, we call them ambulance chasers. You know, they're there every time there's a structure fire. You know, when 911 is called, the dispatcher receives it, she dispatches it to the fire department, and there are people listening to that call, and they hear that address, and they have skip tracing software that they can actually identify who you are, your cell phone number, everything about you, so they're sometimes there before the fire department's there,
mm-hmm.
and they're soliciting to get the board up, the emergency services, the rebuilding, because there's so much money, insurance money potential there, for them to capitalize on. So these are all parts of what's been motivating me to write this book, to help people to get empowered so that they're on an equal playing field.
So what we're talking about is now these people that were surrounding your friends, they didn't have the information necessary to rebuild, but is it that they didn't have insurance, or they just didn't know where to go in terms of, you know, state and federal agencies that were providing low-interest loans? What was it that made your friends different with the information that you could provide versus their neighbors?
Well, the people did have insurance in many cases. Some, of course, did not.
Mm.
But those who did have insurance, you know, it's so complex, the recovery process in certain instances. When you have a wide-scale disaster, you have insurance adjusters who are flown in from all over the United States that represent, you know, the big insurance companies,
mm-hmm.
and they are so overwhelmed with their caseload with so many claims that they don't really have, in most cases, the time they need to spend on any one claim to be able to get it to where the settlement amount is enough or reasonable enough to make these people whole. Now, it's not like they're trying to lowball people. It's just simply that the process, the way it's set up, it is it's difficult because homeowners don't understand how to maximize the benefits of their insurance policy so they can rebuild. That's one element of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just amazed by the comprehensive nature of your website, because not only do you provide the Red Guide to Recovery, the redguidetorecovery.com, but not only do you provide it in ebook form, you have an iPhone app, iPhone iPad app as well, version of it.
Yes.
And not only do you provide it in many different forms, but you even have a special edition for tribal communities. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I mean, so, you know, my heart has always been, you know, very much attuned to the tribal communities of our country. My mom happened to have been American Indian. She passed a couple years ago. And it was just something that, you know, having worked with local tribal members in the San Diego County region, it was another unmet need. They were devastated as well by the recent, the wildfires in 2003 and 2007, because typically the reservations in those areas are in the outer part of the county, most exposed to, wildfire events, in the rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so these people, again, lacking the tools and the resources, they still have to deal with insurance companies and with, finding, temporary, housing and everything that you and I have to. And so they needed a resource as well that was kind of tailored somewhat more to what, their needs are. So I took about, 6 months to work with some people to develop a version that was more specific to them.
I see. And then also you provide customization options for groups that want to purchase large numbers of these books to provide to their cities or their community organizations. And in bulk orders, people can specialize the front cover, some of the chapter content, and contact information can be specialized. This is a very comprehensive way to provide a guide like this, so that it's a one-stop shop where a small community, a city, can prepare a book specific to their locale where they are, with specific phone numbers and addresses and so forth, for the resources in their area. That's very, very smart.
Well, and you asked the question about, kind of what motivated me to write the book, and this ties into it. So, when you're at a fire scene and, the fire department just finished putting out the fire, having, shared this information and talked with some fire chiefs and battalion chiefs, it's kind of a common theme, is that the last question that they're asked by the homeowners is, what do we do now? And a lot of times the answer, up until the book was developed, was contact your insurance company.
Right.
And then right on the heels of that is, don't sign anything with anybody until you spoke, you talk to your agent.
Right.
Because there's always these groups of, people who are waiting for the fire department to leave so they can solicit the homeowner. So, but that being said, so the book is, if you think about it, if you've just gone through a disaster, you're not going to run down to the local bookstore to try to find a book on disaster recovery.
Right.
But you are going to be very appreciative if this book is handed to you for free by the fire department after an event.
Right.
So the way the book is really most effective is when it is placed on the fire apparatus and purchased through grants or corporate sponsorships. So the fire department has this resource to hand to the homeowner. So when they do ask the question, what do I do now? They can say, here, take this book, take a few moments and read, through a couple of these, pertinent chapters to, where you are. And this will help you through the process. This will, empower you to not fall into some of these, pitfalls that are awaiting you.
Sean, what a valuable service. And I definitely want to talk about those groups that show up after disasters and prey on people that don't know what they should and shouldn't do, having them sign things. I definitely want to talk about that. But before I do, I just want to go through this issue that you've already sort of laid out, how communities, fire departments, volunteer organizations can obtain these valuable guides and then specialize them for their locale. But not only do you suggest that they can do so, you actually tell them, well, there are funding options such as Urban Area Security Initiative grants or State Homeland Security Grant Program, the Emergency Management Program grants, HUD Community Development Block grants, County Board of Supervisors discretionary fund grants. You leave no doubt or no stone unturned. No one can say, well, I didn't know how to fund it. You give them about 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 different agencies to contact to fund the purchase of these books. That's amazing.
Well, and that's just, kind of just the very beginning. I mean, there are literally thousands of funding sources out there for this type of a program.
Right.
You know, there are large, home improvement store chains and hotel chains, and banks and insurance companies, you name it, that could, provide some funding for this book to be able to provide it to the first responders, free of charge. Because
right.
typically, fire departments don't have a lot of money in their budgets for this type of a thing,
mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of a, we reach out to the whole community to basically say, look, this is not just for a resource for fire, agencies. This is, it helps them, it helps search teams. It can be used for business continuity. Think about this for a second for business continuity purposes. If you're a business owner and a tornado comes through your town and your business is not touched, but the neighborhoods where all your employees live is destroyed,
right.
Your business is going to be tremendously impacted because all of your key workforce is not going to come to work because they're stuck in the quagmire or trying to figure out how they're going to relocate, how they're going to rebuild, how they're going to put together an inventory of all their personal property.
Right.
All these things take sometimes weeks and months, and all that time that your key employees are not at work, the business interruption and the potential for your competition to take over your market share is huge. I mean, there's a huge percentage of businesses that are affected by disasters that never reopen,
right.
because they just can't recover. And a lot of it can have to do with their employees just not being able to return.
And it's so important to highlight what you're saying is that it isn't just the physical plant of the business that must be prepared and to survive. It's the entire sort of cycle, customer, vendor, supplier. If your employees, for instance, as you said, if their homes are affected, their lives are affected, that's going to impact the business. But let's say the business is intact, the employees' homes are intact, they've been prepared by the business, then they're all sitting there and no one's coming in because the rest of the community has been affected and they don't have time to shop for shoes or clothing or whatever you sell. So your whole community is affected. Businesses have to really look at it from a more global perspective, that as a business association or as a chamber of commerce, they should be looking towards preparing the whole community to be able to recover, especially if they're in a disaster-prone area like a Tornado Alley or something like that, that it's incumbent upon the whole community to pull together to recover, because a business without customers is a business that can fail, just like a business without a physical store or plant and so forth. And
exactly.
That's very important. Great, great stuff. We're talking with Sean Scott, founder and author of The Red Guide to Recovery. And I say founder because it's much more than a book. The website is so comprehensive in terms of resources. You talk here about bringing the Red Guide to your community, each individual community, and you talk about post-disaster recovery, but also pre-disaster recovery and resiliency training, community outreach, CERT training, the Community Emergency Response Team Association efforts throughout the nation, business continuity education, disaster preparation and preparedness, and personal resiliency, which I take to mean, because we've had people talk about the psychological impact of just being in a disaster zone, even if your house is fine, if you have neighbors on both sides of you and across the street whose homes have been significantly impacted, the psychological trauma can be tremendous. And
without question.
I'm sorry?
Without question, it's tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Okay, so I guess we just want to talk a little bit about these, I don't know what you'd call them, I'll leave that open, but who are these people that show up after disasters trying to prey upon people that have been just through the worst times of their lives. I know.
Hang on. My turn.
Yes, George.
My turn. Night before last, when I was watching my taped show, you know, Chicago Fire, when they went to the fire at the bar, when they got there to put the fire out, the mobster guys were sitting there waiting for them to put the fire out so they could go board it up and take part in it.
And
was I close?
Why do they do that? What's going on there?
Well, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Sorry. I just had to throw a little something in there. I only get to talk now and then, so I just thought I'd get my 2 cents into the show about firemen that's, you know, more of a soap opera at times.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, this is no big secret, you know, as far as in the restoration industry. You know, I actually used to be one of those guys to a certain degree. I worked for a company that was specialized in fire restoration in San Diego area. And the big problem we had was a big segment of our business was being lost to the guys who were on the streets. We call them, you know, ambulance chasers. You know, they're listening to the scanners and they're out there, you know, trying primarily to get the board up. The board up is the key to these guys getting, you know, the jobs of rebuilding these buildings or homes that have been affected by fires or floods or cars that crash into them, you know, anything like that. Because the board up basically gives the sales staff or the team, if you will, the opportunity to, you know, work their way into a relationship building mode with the homeowner. We're like, hey, we're here to help you. We want to board up the house to keep vandals out or trespassers out. Oh, and by the way, you know, we're going to help you, you know, with your personal property, with the cleaning. You know, once they're starting to do work, the feeling of the homeowner, their guard comes down. They feel like, okay, I'm starting to quell the chaos here. I've got guys here boarding up the house. They're putting a tarp on the roof. They're, you know, they're talking to the, you know, building department about getting permits. We're on the road to recovery, and it's happening so quick, and these guys are so nice, and, you know, they're so professional. And this is all part of a very well-orchestrated program to win the confidence of these people to get them to ultimately sign the contract for the rebuilding.
Right.
So it's a very prolific, you know, industry that is, you know, becoming more and more common, because if you're not in on insurance companies' approved vendor programs, or if you're not a construction company that's regularly called by an insurance adjuster and you want fire restoration work, you only have two choices. You either go out and chase these fires by knowing, you know, listening to scanners and whatnot and going out there and be physically present, or you have to work with other people who are doing the same thing. You know, like public insurance adjusters typically are individuals that you'll see out soliciting people after a fire to represent them on their insurance claim. So there's a number of different entities out there. You've got people who are legitimate businesses, but then you got guys who are, you know, shady, and you got some that are outright criminals. So you just don't know who you've got out there when you're in the midst of this chaos. And so again, the book has specific information in it that helps take the mask off of that industry and show you how to vet a contractor. What does a public insurance adjuster do for you? When do you need one? When don't you need one? And these are all things that you would never even know as a disaster survivor that, you know, that this is even an issue.
Right.
But now if you're in a situation where you've just signed a contract for somebody to either adjust your claim or to board up your house, if you're not cognizant and aware of that fine print, you could have got yourself into a binding contract that you can't get out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, the book is spelling out all of these, is revealing the minefield of where not to step. You know, and that's, again, another big motivating factor for me in writing this book, was to share with people truly what does this recovery process entail. And that's, you know, I hope that answered your question.
It absolutely does. I mean, what I hear from you and what I see is that perhaps every fire station in America should have access to this guide to hand out after a fire or after a local disaster, so that homeowners know what to do next. I think this should be in the hands of every victim of a fire. Period.
Yes.
And,
well, you know, you've hit it on the nail on the head, because the fire department, and God bless them for what they do every day, putting their lives on the line for, you know, saving people and property. But they are the last line of defense.
Right.
Because, again, like I was saying before, you know, if this book is handed to that homeowner, you know, by the fire department, and they spend just a few minutes just to share with them a couple of the key points, it will tremendously make it, you know, an impact on their lives. Because,
right,
you know, the fire department is, they're the knights in white shining armor. You know, they've, you know, come out and saved this, you know, this family's home.
Right.
And so they're trusted. And so anything that's going to be provided by them to a homeowner, you know, they're going to appreciate it, and they're going to probably take the time to, you know, to read these key points.
Right.
It can save their life. And you know, I wanted just to say one thing about saving your life. You know, a lot of times people think, okay, disaster recovery, you know, it's, you know, part of this whole, you know, program of being prepared for disasters and, you know, all of that. But what people don't realize is what can happen to somebody on the emotional level after a disaster. I mean, not only can you fall into a trap or into a situation where you can't rebuild, but that can easily spiral into the loss of your savings. You know, picture this, you're displaced, you're out of your home, and so you're living in a temporary residence, and you're paying your rent,
right,
and your mortgage. Well, at a certain point in time, you're not going to be able to pay, you know, for both of those costs for much longer if, you know, you don't have good insurance or any way to recoup your losses. So if you've lost your home and you can't rebuild, what follows after that? Well, there's depression, financial loss of, you know, of a job, and then a lot of times you have divorces. So now, you know, and in some cases you have a loss of life, maybe a child or a loved one or even pets have died in that fire. And all these things weigh heavily on the psyche of people, which contributes to this chaos. And in some cases, you know, people have committed suicide because of just not being able to handle the overwhelming devastation of all the loss of these, you know, these key components of their life, home, family.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Sean, it's fascinating. The Red Guide to Recovery.com. We're going to be covering more of the book and more of the website and your efforts, and it's just a very valuable resource. But now I'd like to turn our attention to our local matters, and we'd like to thank a new sponsor. Jackie, who are we thanking today?
Oh, we have a new sponsor, Joe. It's kind of exciting. It's
mm-hmm.
never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional service of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Palos Verdes Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with financial planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong is dedicated to helping you navigate to financial success. Call 310-542-0011 for a free consultation. And for more detailed information, you can visit their website at www.bcws.com. Now, if you mention the South Bay Show or South Bay by Jackie, you receive a 10% discount on your first year's tax return. The offices of Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong are located at 3424 Carson Street in Torrance. Now, guys, it's my turn. I got to tell you guys a story about those ambulance chasers.
What?
About 12 years ago, mm-hmm. we had an industrial property out in the San Fernando Valley, 85,000 square foot industrial building with several tenants in it. And one morning, I was up having my coffee. I turned on the local news, and I'm watching a fire raging. And as I'm looking at it, I'm going, that looks familiar. And I yelled for my husband. I went, John! And he came running in the living room. And I said, is that our building? Mm-hmm. And he went, uh-oh. And the phone started ringing. So he jumped in the car, drove out there. The phone started ringing, and it didn't stop. And these people calling me sounded official. Hi, my name is so-and-so from so-and-so, and you have a property that is on fire. There's just been a fire, and we need for you to do this and this. And I'm like, what? Excuse me? Who are you? And this went on all day. After the second or third call, I called my husband. And I said, John, I got people calling me. He's like, don't talk to them. He said, do not talk to any of these people. You know, he got out there. There were additional people out there.
Right.
You know, that were hounding him.
Just hanging on.
Oh, yeah. I ended up turning the phones off. It was nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, fortunately, we're in that business. We know what to do. We had a construction company that, you know, we called, and they came out and took care of the board up and all that other stuff. But it was amazing. I mean, they made themselves sound official. They made them sound like they were from the city or the fire department or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. For the click of a link on the redguidetorecovery.com, I received a personal property inventory template. And just listing, well, the different categories, it's an Excel spreadsheet, and it covers all of the different areas of your home that memory jogger that you should think about what of value has been lost, and so that you can get a total replacement value together. And this is, Sean, I am just amazed. This is such a valuable tool. It's an Excel spreadsheet. It has a place for the name, address, policy number, claim number, date of loss, policy limits, and then it automatically calculates the total replacement value. It has all these categories of areas like bedroom, bedroom closet, bathroom, bathroom vanity, linen closet, living room, storage cabinets, kitchen, baby, toddler items, music CDs, musical equipment, pets, sporting goods. And then under each category, for instance, bedroom, there's something like, I'm looking at bedroom and there's like, I can't get to the end of the list. It's 230 lines in the spreadsheet of different elements that you could or could not fill out in terms of replacement value. Very valuable tool. Thank you, Sean.
Well, yeah, I can. Let me just share a little bit about that for you. So, and again, you know, this is the, you know, the Memory Jogger is a free resource,
right?
And it's, you know, available for download on the website. So, you know, again, with the wildfires, we had people who had 6 inches of ash. Okay, no photos, no receipts, no documentation, no idea what they had in its entirety in their home. Well, then their insurance adjuster will come out and say, well, you know, Jackie, Joe, and George, we need an inventory of all your personal property that you had in your home before the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how in the world are you going to remember all of that? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's impossible. And so now you're looking at your policy, and the adjuster is showing you that you have $250,000 worth of coverage to replace all of your personal property.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you've got this task. They hand you a sheet of paper and say, start writing. Give us your list of what you had. Mm-hmm. So what the memory jogger does in a situation like, you know, a fire, earthquake, or flood where nothing is, you know, there, or tornado where all you have is a slab, mm-hmm. is you can take this thing and you can go room by room, and you can delete what doesn't apply to you, mm-hmm. and you can add in items that maybe don't exist. But we spent about a year and a half compiling that list. So we would go to, you know, local grocery stores and home improvement stores, and we would list everything that we could see that could possibly be in somebody's home. Mm-hmm. You know, CDs and DVDs and Christmas ornaments and, you know, decorations and you name it, clothes, shoes, toys, it's all there. Well, not all, but it's pretty exhaustive. So now you can go through this, and all you have to do is price it, and now you can basically hand this to your adjuster, and you're done. It cuts the amount of time. Putting together an inventory of your personal property is mm-hmm. probably the single most difficult task in all of the recovery elements for individuals and families, mm-hmm. because it's so difficult to remember. And you don't want to commit insurance fraud. You don't want to claim items that, you know, you honestly didn't have. And so this will actually help you honestly put together, mm-hmm. you know, help you remember the things that was in your home.
It's amazing how much value there is in our homes that we don't think of. You just mentioned one item, Christmas ornaments, you know, and I just flashed on that. If I think back on the Christmas ornaments that we've, you know, built up over the time that we've been married, my wife and I and our three children, probably hundreds and hundreds of dollars, but it doesn't seem like that over 20 years. You know, you don't think of that. But,
correct.
You know, to replace everything would be literally hundreds of dollars for ornaments.
Right. And I looked in my fishing tackle box. So think about that for a second. You know, go in your garage, you got your tackle box. Mm. If you were to price every lure, every fishing weight, every, you know, fishing rod and reel, you'd be surprised. You've got thousands of dollars in just one little box. Sometimes, right. or just your, you know, some of your gear. So it was apparent that the more detailed I was able to get in that inventory list to help people jog that memory, the faster they will reach, you know, their limits of what their coverage is to help them remember. Because what I saw after these wildfire events is people just got overwhelmed with the process. They basically just took 50 cents on the dollar for what, you know, they had, and they were just done. And then 6 months later, they're like, oh, I had a guitar in the attic. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, and they start remembering later on, oh, I had all these things. It's too late at that point.
Right.
So not only does a memory jogger, and I wanted to share this with you, not only is it good after an event, but let's say you used it before a disaster. What it's going to do is if you inventory the personal property in your home today before a disaster, at the end of the day, you're going to have a price that's going to pop up in that memory jogger. It's going to tell you how much insurance you're going to need before a disaster strikes.
Right.
And that's one of the key components of recovery is you need to have good insurance. If you're a renter out there, get renter's insurance. It's cheap. It's worth it. You know, homeowners, make sure you've got enough coverage.
Right. Well, Sean, I am truly honored to have you on the show. We are sometimes feeling like we're shouting in the wilderness. We produce these shows. These shows are a document that lives on the internet forever. People can refer back to these shows, but they need something in their hands. They need something on their brother, sister, mother, aunt's computer that they can go back to and say, hey, this is the memory jogger property inventory that I sent you guys in email. Can you send that back to me? You know, I can't get to my computer now because my computer is under 2 feet of water. It's invaluable, and there's no price that can be put on it. But Sean, can we get a ballpark price? How much does it cost for instance, it doesn't cost anything for people to get the guide just for themselves, right?
Well, if it's provided to you by the fire department, obviously it's free of charge. If you wanted to purchase it, for a preparedness reason, well, then, of course, you know, it's $9.95 as an ebook.
Okay.
And I strongly recommend for those out there who have, you know, who are computer savvy or have smartphones or iPad, to download it to get it. Because if you have a, like I do, I have an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
you can have the book in your pocket. So if you're evacuated or if you come home and, you know, your home's been destroyed, you've got this information in your pocket. Because if the fire department doesn't have the book, or, you know, or they've run out, well, then at least you've got the information, you know, right there in your purse or your pocket at all times. And the mobile app right now is free.
Right.
I mean, there's no excuse for people not to have this information, you know, at least on their phone.
Right, right. So if you get it by via mobile app, then it's free. And you have it for iOS, iPhones.
Yeah.
Are you going to get it for Androids as well?
Well, that's kind of the next step. We've got a couple of projects coming up. That we wanted to, you know, also do it for the Droid, you know, market,
right.
As well as we have an upgrade to the memory jogger, which is we're hoping to develop here this year. But, you know, it's one of those things where just kind of got to get some big orders from some big agencies to be able to help fund some of these other ideas and projects. I mean, my goal, to be honest with you, is to be in a place where everything that you need as an individual or a family member is going to be available on this website. You know, the memory jogger is just it's sort of like a preview of some of the concepts and ideas that I have that will help people become more resilient. I mean, I do this, my real job is, you know, was out being out there in the field helping people restore and rebuild their homes.
Right.
So, you know, walking people through that process from 6 inches of ashes to handing them the keys to a new home, I'm very well acquainted with that. It's all I did my whole adult life.
Right.
And so I know what people need. And industry changes. You know, insurance, you know, policies sometimes change. And coverages change. And then disasters have ways, you know, of changing the dynamics of how to find help and, you know, what you need and et cetera. So we're constantly keeping on the cutting edge of what you know, what is current to help people, you know, rebound from these types of things.
Well, it's just so comprehensive. You're reaching out through all the different channels, not just iBooks, not just Barnes & Noble for ebooks, but for the iPhone app and then the free memory jogger. You really are reaching out and touching people in every place that they would need it. This is awesome. So we're gonna come back to you, Sean, and discuss some more and get some more concrete information from you about how people can get in touch with you and purchase the app and purchase the ebook. But right now, we'd like to have George tell us about what's coming up.
Okay, here we go. Tomorrow evening, our co-host, Miss Jackie, again for her second week, will be holding a women's self-defense class at Fitness Evolution, 200 North Harbor Drive in Redondo Beach. The class is at 7 p.m. in the Triton Room on the second floor. Jackie had taken some classes. She had spent a lot of time working with some other people, and she now is holding her own class. It is a class designed for women by women. Jackie, anything else you'd like to add?
No. It was. We had a good first week, and it looks like the second week there's going to be even more attendees, so I'm looking forward to it.
I would think so. If you have any questions, give Jackie a call at 310-418-6851.
We should mention it's free.
And, oh, by the way, it's free.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. All right. For the CERT members in the Los Angeles area and the South Bay, we have coming up this coming Saturday, February 16th, a first aid CPR AED training, Red Cross. And this is for our CERT members. Red Cross charges around $90 for this. We're looking to charge around $70, and it will be much donated for us. It will provide you with your first aid CPR and AED certifications for 2 years. The class is at 8 a.m. This Saturday at 420 15th Street in Manhattan Beach. And this is in the police and fire community room off the plaza to the right. If anybody needs additional information, please contact myself at info@mbcerta.org. That's the Manhattan Beach CERTS Association. Write that down. You'll need it if you have any questions for a couple of the others I'm going to mention here. On March 8, 9, and 10, we are going to hold our CERT class. It is available to 32 members of the South Bay area, specific to Manhattan Beach, but we've never turned down neighboring city members either. It's a Friday evening, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. You would come out of it knowing how to protect yourself, your family, neighbors, and be able to help the community after a disaster. Also coming up on the 21st of this month, Thursday the 21st from 7 to 9, the Tri-City CERT organization of the cities of Gardena, Hawthorne, and Lawndale at the Gardena Valley Baptist Church in Gardena will hold their monthly meeting, their CERT meeting, and their guest speaker will be Jim Hone. He's one of their board members now. He is the retired Santa Monica Fire Department chief, and he was in charge of the fire department back in 2003 when an elderly gentleman drove through the Santa Monica Farmers Market, injuring 69 and killing 10 people. He will have a conversation, and they will talk about the practices of triage and the evolution of head-to-toe skills. So that is on February 21st. The address is 1630 West 158th Street in Gardena. And again, if you have any questions, you may contact me at info@mbcerta.org. And then we will move into March 30th, the day before Easter. That morning from 8 to 12, we will be holding a CPR AED training, same location. It's $45. It's 420 15th Street in Manhattan Beach. April 27th and June 22nd. We will be holding AM and PM classes for CPR and AED training. And again, if you need any information, feel free to contact me, George, at info@mbcerta.org. Jackie, if you don't mind, our sister CERT organization in Redondo Beach has a little fundraiser, and I'm remiss in pulling it up, but you want to talk about that briefly?
Actually, I don't know, George, that it's an actual fundraiser. I don't think it's an event. I think that they're just they sent out an email reminding people about their organization and how they can always use some donations. I don't believe there was an actual fundraising event.
Okay, all right,
Going to send them a little love, you know. Mm-hmm.
Send them
that
a little love,
there.
All right.
Yeah.
The Redondo Beach, you can Google, go to the Redondo Beach CERT website, and they're looking for donations. They've had some new vehicles donated to them, and I know they're looking to prepare and outfit those vehicles. So just a shout out to Redondo Beach, who was quite instrumental in Manhattan Beach, and I guess I should also note that February 5th was our fifth anniversary last week. So Manhattan Beach CERT Association is now 5 years old.
Right.
And I've gotten much older, but I enjoy it. That's why I do this. And that's right. It. That's what's going on right now. I'd like to tell you I have a guest for next Tuesday, but if you're listening and you'd like to be a guest, give me a shout out. I am speaking with some some people about it, and I have shows down the road set up. But we could use an email from somebody that liked to share their stories and their businesses and their experiences and knowledge on our show. And for that, I thank you all. And, of course, Sean, I want to thank you right off for being here.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
It's been a marvelous program, Sean, and the value that the RedGuideToRecovery.com provides is really self-evident. And I hope more communities and nearly and literally every fire district in the country eventually gets this guide or a guide very similar to it. No homeowner that ever has a fire or a disaster at their home should ever not be provided this guide, because just chapter 14, just knowledge of the disaster scams out there is worth anything that a local agency or a local volunteer organization would pay for the guide right there.
Well, you know, and it's not just, you know, listing the scams. It's listing the tricks that con artists use to propagate a scam. You know, it's those tactics that homeowners, especially the elderly or people that don't have a really firm grasp on the English language, they tend to be most easily, swayed to fall prey to these things. And so, yeah, Chapter 14, again, you know, talking about how to avoid disaster scams is really important. But I will say, you know, for fire agencies or business owners or, you know, anybody out there, you know, I encourage everybody, put a link to our website. You can use our logo as a link icon. Mm-hmm. It makes navigation easy because if people are going through disaster, if it's difficult to find the information that they need that's on my website, it's just going to make their lives more difficult if they have to try and search, you know, in piecemeal, trying to find this information on their own. So we just, by all means, you know, welcome anybody with comments, you know, feedback, as well as please, by all means, use our, our logo and our, our link to our website to be able to provide these resources to your communities.
Right, right. It's a great service that you provide, and it's so well organized. Everyone can take advantage of it. It's been a great show. Thank you, George, member of the top 5% of LinkedIn. We're very pleased and honored to have you on the show, George.
Well, thank you. As I noted in my post, I'm sure I could not have done this without the two of you and all of the guests that have come on our show over the last 10 months, and I look forward to a one anniversary show coming up here in a couple of months.
Yeah, it's been quite a run. We've had some amazing guests, and really we've put down quite a list of documents that if you take them as a whole are quite a valuable resource for the nation and for our communities, and we're very proud of it.
Yep. Yep, definitely.
We're very proud of it. And Jackie, we're very proud of you too.
Oh, thank you. As soon as the show is over, as soon as we're off the air, I am downloading my Red Guide to Recovery.
Yes. Yeah.
I am. No, you know something, I am. Years ago, my husband and I think it was after that fire at our building out in the valley, we went through and we did a video log from room to room.
Yeah.
And we put that in a safe deposit box. But that was 10 or 12 years ago. I have new furniture. I have new dishes. I have new clothes. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to be more efficient this time.
Right. More efficient. Now, are you going to get the app for your iPhone or you're going to go for the ebook?
I'll probably do the ebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think the ebook would be very, very valuable for us too. It's just the tools of available to us now make this possible. It's wonderful. You're taking advantage of all the tools, and of course, the guide specialized for tribal communities, and then Información en Español. as well is there. It's just wonderful, Sean. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much. And yeah, if you ever have any questions or you want to chat about this, you know, topic again, we've got lots of other things to share that we definitely couldn't squeeze into 45 minutes.
Right, right. And thank you for saying that. Most people say it's a very long time, but it's not. Thank you.
I will be in touch.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We enjoyed having you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.